Today's podcast is sponsored by GenesisCare, national independent cancer care provider and experts in breast health, diagnostics and treatments.
Hello, welcome to And Then Came Breast Cancer, the podcast for everyone whose life has been touched by the disease. I'm Victoria Derbyshire, and my world changed in 2015 when I was diagnosed. I leant on so many people, family, obviously, friends, obviously, and of course, the surgeons, the nurses, the radiologists, who ultimately saved my life. The Future Dreams Breast Cancer Charity believes that no one should face the disease on their own and wanted to create a podcast series which would be there 24 hours a day for those what am I going to do moments when your life gets changed too. An honest friend, a really honest friend, but not just for you, for your own family and friends who are also looking for guidance, support and possibly answers. We've built up a library. We're really proud of it. We've talked about things like friendship and fear and the latest medical advances. And we've had really frank conversations about relationships and wigs and reconstruction and cold caps. We even won a British Podcast Gold Award for services to the breast cancer community. There are so many things we haven't really touched on. I mean, we could do this series forever. And it's things that affect your body and your mind. So welcome to another episode in this, our third series of the podcast. And today we're talking about a type of breast cancer I know a little bit about. It is called lobular, and it's what I was diagnosed with 8 years ago. As is tradition on this podcast, I'm going to ask our guests to introduce themselves, and then we will dive in. Welcome.
Well, my name is Susan Michaelis and I'm Australian, where I was an airline pilot, but I was medically retired at the age of 34 due to chemicals in my workplace. So I re-qualified and trained in air quality in aircraft, and that's the area that I work in now, trying to fix that problem.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, it's lovely to be here. I'm Josie Lloyd. I'm from Brighton. I'm an author, mother of three girls.
Ages are they?
They are 23, 19 and 16 now. So we've just finished GCSEs.
Oh, my youngest son has as well. It's liberating, isn't it? It's the most incredible feeling. Claire, hello.
Hi, I'm Claire Turner. And my day job, I work in the arts and cultural sector, with museums and theatres. I live in Manchester, but spend quite a bit of time in North Wales with my partner and the dog, Woody.
Oh, what kind of dog?
He's a sprudel. He's chocolate brown. He looks like he's a Muppet.
He doesn't look like he's real. So that's a poodle and what?
Springer Spaniel.
Oh my gosh. I have never heard of a sprudel. We've got two cockers. Wow. Okay. Well, welcome all of you. And a little later on, I'm going to bring in Dr. Sujanya Gaddy, who is with us and being patient for a moment or two. We can see you on Zoom, Dr. Gaddy. Thank you for being with us. Welcome. I'm going to ask Susan, first of all, how are you?
Well, I'm well. You know, it's difficult because I now have, I was diagnosed with lobular breast cancer 10 years ago in 2013. And 2 years ago, I've had two recurrences, of which the second recurrence I was advised that it had become metastatic, so it had gone to my bones. But the treatment that I'm now on for life, and I've been on treatment ever since 2013, they don't trouble me. I don't have any adverse symptoms at all, really. But, you know, my specific concern is the duration of the treatments and how effective they are.
How are you, Josie?
I'm great, actually. Thank you. I was diagnosed with lobular breast cancer in 2017. I had seen a tiny dimple in the bottom of my breast, and I'd been to the doctor about it, and they have a poke around and said, nothing to worry about, wait until you're 50 for a mammogram. So this letter.
And how old were you?
I was 47.
Okay.
A letter arrived in the post saying, we're doing a trial to test women under 50. Would you like to come for a voluntary mammogram? And I thought, oh, yeah, brilliant. Mm-hmm. So off I went and had a mammogram and explained about the dimple. And she said, well, you've seen some unusual breast tissue, so likely that we'll call you back. So I was called back in New Year, the New Year, and I knew straight away that something was up. And so I had a biopsy, and suddenly we're on the cancer train that we're all very familiar with. So I had grade 2 lobular breast cancer I had a mastectomy, chemotherapy and radiotherapy. I've had 5 years of tamoxifen and now on letrozole. But apart from being a little bit cranky in the morning and feeling a little bit like a tin man quite a lot of the time, I'm very well. And, okay, you know, thriving the other side, thank you. So, yeah, I'm good. And I'm very proud to be a patron of Robert of Breast Cancer UK because it's a subject very dear to my heart.
Of course. Claire, what about you?
I'm doing really well at the minute, thanks, Victoria. I was diagnosed with lobular breast cancer in 2017. I also had a local recurrence in 2020 between my implant and the skin. But it took me 5 years to actually get diagnosed.
Five years
from when I first went to my GP saying, there's something not right in my breast. It took 5 years for an actual invasive tumour to be found. And now I understand a lot more about lobbier and I understand how that kind of happened. Mm. But that query of why it took so long is kind of why I decided to set up Lobbier Breast Cancer UK, which obviously Josie's just mentioned. And co-found it with a whole group of other lobular patients as well.
Okay, so let's try and drill down into what lobular breast cancer is, because all of you will have heard people saying, oh, where was your lump? Where did you find the lump? What was the lump? Now, mine wasn't a lump. It was an inverted nipple. Susan, what about you?
All I had was a tiny spot on the breast. And, you know, it was like a mole. It was so small, you know, a couple of millimetres. And then I could feel it a little bit more. And I pointed it out when I had a mammogram. And they said, no problem. And then I thought, actually, there is a problem. It's becoming a little bit red. It's just like a mole. And that was it. Mm. You know, so I went to the consultant and said, something not right. And he said, we have to biopsy that. And he did, and he said, it's positive for invasive lobular breast cancer. And I said, what is that? I did another mammogram and an ultrasound on the same day, both showed nothing.
Wow.
I did an MRI the following week and it showed 2.6 centimetres. And with my double mastectomy surgery, it was 7 centimetres.
Really?
So... Okay. Lobular is different.
It is different. And we'll get into how we pick it up. Josie, what did you notice?
I noticed some stabbing pains in my breast, first of all. Mm-hmm. I felt a little bit, I could feel that there was something, I thought maybe it was a bit hormonal. Mm-hmm. But there was this tiny dimple that I could only see when I took my top off. And I kept saying to my husband, he said, it's like a little dimple that you had in your cheek, but right on the underside of my breast, you wouldn't have noticed it at all. And apart from that, nothing. I didn't feel unwell. I mean, I'd been under quite a lot of stress. My mum had died, but you know, there's no rhyme or reason. And of course, it was such a massive shock to find out that I had lobular breast cancer. I said, how could this have happened on my watch? You know, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel a lump. And I had actually been to the doctor, and the doctor had said it was fine. So thank goodness that I was tested early. Otherwise, it would have been really serious because it was on the move. And by the time it was operated on, it was 6.5 centimetres and had gone into my lymph node. So it was on the move and I was really lucky that it was caught in time. But it made me really wonder how on earth it had happened and that I hadn't noticed and that I didn't know about it. It's very sneaky.
Yes. So, yeah. So Claire, obviously there were no obvious symptoms because it took 5 years for you to be diagnosed. You said you just didn't feel right. Can you explain, give us a sense of what you were feeling?
Yeah, it was it felt like there was itchy, scratchy is the other kind of not very scientific way of describing it at first. And then I started getting weird tugging sensations as if something inside my breast was being pulled. And then very like Josie, I then would get erratic stabbing pains. And at first I'd had a breast cancer scare in my 20s that turned out to be a cyst, and infected ducts in my breast. So I just thought it's most probably that. I come from a family of lumpy boobed women. Mm. So I just thought it's most probably just another cyst, but nothing. Each time I think I went to the breast clinic about five times over the 5 years, starting to think I am just a hypochondriac. Oh. And nothing was found on mammograms. I even had ultrasounds and biopsies. Mm. And eventually in 2017, I went back again saying there is a obvious dent in my breast. There must be something wrong. And 1 centimeter was found.
Mm. And how did was that through a mammogram or how did they find that?
It showed up on mammogram.
Right.
And then I, with lobular, you then have a diagnostic MRI to see how large the tumor might actually be. And it was, and it spotted about another centimeter. But when I had my surgery, it was 8 centimeters. And I had tumors, small tumors. The whole of my right breast was just filled with kind of lobular breast cancer.
Right. I think perhaps people who haven't been diagnosed with breast cancer, the many different types, assume, and I certainly did before I was diagnosed, that a mammogram picks up everything. And now it is gold. I've talked to my consultant about this. It is the gold standard for picking up breast cancer, but it doesn't always pick up lobular, as we've heard today. And that is an issue. You know, you have to get an MRI scan, essentially, is what we're saying.
Well, this is correct, because lobular, the cells don't stick together and form a lump, usually. It loses a protein that enables the cells to form in a single line. So it's kind of like a spider's web. And this the cells, the cancerous cells, they slither in between the breast tissue, as I understand it. So no wonder it's not easy to pick up on a mammogram. I mean, occasionally it is, but we hear the same stories over and over again. And the MRI, although it may under-detect it, as in a number of our cases, it'll pick something up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is changing.
Yeah. We're going to bring in Dr. Sujanya Gaddy now. Hello to you. Thank you for your patience and welcome to And Then Came Breast Cancer. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, Victoria, for inviting me.
Not at all. Not at all. We're really happy to have you here. I really want to, you first of all, Dr. Gaddy, make the distinction between lobular and ductal, because people lump them together. And they are not the same.
Absolutely. I think most people are aware of what breast cancer is, but they do not understand that there are many subtypes of breast cancer. The two most common subtypes of breast cancer are the ductal carcinoma, which is a cancer that develops within the milk ducts, and then the lobular breast cancer, which actually develops in the lobules, which lie at the end of the milk ducts. So that's essentially where the nomenclature or the way we describe the cancer comes from. When we have lobular breast cancer, because the lobules are many at the end of a milk duct, and each milk duct has lobules at the end of it, the lobular breast cancer seems to develop in multiple sites. And also, like we were discussing, it does not form a lump. And the reason for that is the lack of E-cadherin, which is the binding protein that makes the cancer cells form a lump. And that's essentially absent in lobular breast cancer. So when we are when looking on mammogram, or we are advising women to find a lump, we're actually not guiding them the right way to pick up on lobular breast cancer.
Yeah.
Lobular breast cancer is much more subtle, presents more mainly as a thickening or a nipple change or a subtle dimpling. Those are the features that we see mainly. And on a mammogram, equally, when there is no lump, we're looking for other forms of abnormality which are a lot more subtle. For example, an asymmetry is what we call, and an asymmetry is nothing but a difference between the other breast to this breast, and it might be a little patch of what looks like normal breast tissue in an odd place in a different distribution, or corresponding to the patient's symptoms.
Right.
So all of that needs to be taken into account before we make a diagnosis, because there is nothing definitive or descriptive to identify lobular breast cancer on your standard mammogram.
Right. Just explain briefly your expertise, Dr. Gaddy, before we carry on, because your facts are superb and I want to bring everybody in about them as well.
Sure. I work in breast radiology, which is a field which is mainly in diagnosing breast cancers, both in screening and symptomatic setup. So in screening, we use a mammogram as a general screening or population screening tool, and that picks up any abnormalities. And once we pick up the abnormality, we then go ahead to do an ultrasound and a biopsy. And once the diagnosis is made, then we transfer the care of the patient across to the surgeon.
Okay.
Equally, in a symptomatic setting, when the patients identify an abnormality, they present to our clinics where they're examined by a breast surgeon. Then they come in to see me for a mammogram, an ultrasound, and if there's anything further that needs doing at that point.
Right.
So that's where I come in.
Two quick questions, Dr. Galley, before I bring Claire and Josie and Susan back in. We know that 15% of all breast cancers are lobular. Is this true or false? Lobular patients often need more severe treatment.
Because of the nature of presentation, lobular breast cancer does not form a definitive lump. Mm-hmm. So it's often detected at a later stage when the cancer size is much larger. There is often lymph node involvement, both of which mean much more drastic surgical outcomes. For example, what could have been a lumpectomy in a small ductal cancer might end up with a mastectomy in a lobular cancer, which means the whole breast gets taken off. Equally, the lymph node involvement will mean that there will be more extensive surgery within the armpit or the axilla, and that itself has its own downsides.
Yeah. Is this a myth or is there some truth in this? Is lobular breast cancer more likely to return than other types of breast cancer?
Lobular breast cancer returns in a different way to ductal breast cancer. It presents or it returns at a later stage. Normally, what we do with women is we offer them 5-year follow-up after their diagnosis in order to pick up those recurrence. Whereas we know from our experience so far that lobular breast cancer can recur much later, by which time the routine follow-up has finished for that woman. And also it can present in a very different way to ductal cancer. For example, ductal cancer usually metastasizes to bones, whereas lobular metastasizes to the lining of your gastrointestinal tract, your gut, basically. So the presentation symptoms will be different. Okay, so that's what needs to be identified.
But just so I'm clear, is it more likely to return than other subtypes of breast cancer, or do we not know that?
We're not sure about that because most of the research has been focused on ductal carcinoma, and we're only now identifying the fact that lobular behaves differently. So we need a lot more research into that to see how it recurs and what needs to happen in order for us to capture that.
Right. Well, that's a really good point. And Susan, you're nodding as Dr. Galley was saying that. Is the medical establishment, is science behind when it comes to research into lobular cancer?
Well, yes, there is some pockets of science going on. And very good science, but it's still far too minimal, and it's not translating into the medical establishment or even the scientific establishment to get us specific treatments. So it's not recognised. We know lobular is different. We've known, as I understand it, it behaves differently since. As Dr. O'Kines at the Royal Marsden said, since 1976. So it's a long time. And that research hasn't been done to work out this specific biology to get us specific treatments. So right from when someone is diagnosed with lobular, they go on the best treatment possible. So at the moment, we're put on a treatment that is based on ductal research. And so I feel it is behind it and needs an absolute push to get the science focusing on lobular, much more of it.
Which is why today you are wearing a T-shirt that says lobular breast cancer, 1,000 people a day, needs a specific treatment, help make it happen. And you are working to raise money. I'll come back to that in a moment. I mean, all of you have been prompted to do something. Josie, you've written a novel, Cancer Ladies Running Club. Tell us the story of the woman you met at the Brighton 10K.
Oh, well, when I was first diagnosed, I went to the school gate and I met Roz, who'd also actually had breast cancer and I had no idea. She's a fitness instructor and she said, you must stay fit in your treatment. I said, no, Roz, I am going under the duvet with the chocolate biscuits forthwith. And I don't want to get fit anyway. So she said, come down to the seafront in Brighton where I have a group of women who are running through breast cancer, come meet them. So I went down and it was a bit like that moment where you're very heavily pregnant and you meet new mothers for the first time, and they gave me all the gory stories about what was happening. But I really liked their gallows humour. And I went down, kept going down. And then a couple of weeks later, there was a guy there from the Argus newspaper in Brighton. Yeah. And he said, oh, it's so wonderful. You're running the Brighton Marathon 10K. And I said, the what, Roz? The what? Nobody mentioned this. And she said, didn't I mention it? We're doing the Brighton Marathon 10K. So I went on a very beautiful spring day to do the Brighton Marathon 10K. And it was just before my third chemo. So I was running bald. And I started off and I was feeling really gung-ho, and then I got really tired. And then the most amazing thing happened. So runner after runner in this race tapped me on the shoulder and said, I'm clear 5 years, keep going. I'm clear 3 years, keep going. And then this one woman ran with me for a bit and she said, they thought I was a goner, had really serious cancer, but look at me now. And she had swishy, gorgeous, long, dark hair, and she ran and she said, just keep going. And she'd waited for me on the very last turn of the race. Aww. And she said, stop a minute, I just want to talk to you. And I said, what is it? She said, when I was at my lowest ebb, she said, I was in the Marston, I was in a cafe, I was feeling absolutely wretched. And this woman came over to me and she said, I know exactly what you're going through, but I want you to have hope and I want you to know that your life will be better than ever the other side of cancer. And this woman in a cafe had taken off this little necklace that had a butterfly on it and had given it to the runner and said, this is a little butterfly of hope and I want you to keep it and I want you to pass it on in time, but I want you to know that your life will be better than ever the other side of cancer. And in the race, this runner said, I've been wearing it for 3 years, I'm going to give it to you. And so she gave me this beautiful little necklace and we had, I don't know her name, we had a hug and we had a few tears and it was so emotional and moving. And I ran on and caught up with my gang and we ran over the line. And of course, I'm a novelist. I've written 22 novelists and I was like, I'm like a magpie for stories. And I was like, I have to write a story about this. So I wrote a book called The Cancer Ladies Running Club, mainly because when I was diagnosed, I wanted to find a book that was that would teach me, and I learn a lot through fiction always. And I didn't want to read a book with a mum dying with tubes up her nose. I really wanted to get, where's my happy ending? I've been writing books with happy endings for years. I want my happy ending. So I wrote The Cancer Ladies Running Club and I based it on the runners, and it's just come out in the States and we're doing the film of it, which is very exciting. Oh my gosh. But when the book came out, my friend Alice, who runs Posh Totty Designs in Brighton, she made me butterflies of hope necklaces. So I'm wearing one today, but it's got a little butterfly, which is like the butterfly.
Yeah.
And we give a lot of the money that we make from the necklaces to charity. But and it says hope on the back, which I think is really lovely because, of course, as we all know, when you get diagnosed with cancer, everybody gives you flowers, which is wonderful. But then your house is like a mausoleum. with dead flowers, which is really depressing right when you don't want them. So it's actually been a really lovely thing. So it's a really inspiring
I mean, that
thing.
Story is really, I feel really upset because I'm just sort of visualising, because we're talking about lobular breast cancer. I never get upset on this podcast, ever. But A, because we're talking about lobular breast cancer, and B, the woman waiting for you and then the woman in the Marsden handing over the necklace. I mean, it's just so... I don't even know what the word is.
Do you know, though, Victoria, and I think we will all find this. I mean, obviously I didn't want to have cancer. Nobody wants to have cancer. But I can tell you that it's been the most incredibly life-changing thing for me. For me, personally, I don't think there was any bad thing in having a midlife shake-up because it's made me change my life in a lot of positive ways. But the people that I've met, the wonderful people like Claire and everybody in the charity, but everybody that I've met along the way has been so... has really enriched my life. And actually this moment of friendship, I think we as women, especially women who have been touched by breast cancer, we're so supportive of one another. And it's a really powerful thing. And I think I really applaud, you know, what you're doing, because I really think it's really important that we come together, because as women we're very powerful and we're very passionate about this.
But you see, when you say that, Josie, I totally understand what you're saying. But then we're sitting here with Susan, whose cancer has spread because it wasn't picked up, because there isn't the same focus on it in terms of money being spent for science and all the rest of it. And so, yeah, I'm just aware of that.
Well, you know, I did a half Ironman triathlon. Now, I was really slow and I would come right near the back, but it was the point of doing it. And this was 3 weeks before my diagnosis. I got to get back to that. And you've inspired me. But, you know, when I was diagnosed, I was made aware that lobular was different and that the research had gone to ductal, and there's a real chance that it can come back because it was 7 centimetres and been going a long time. It's not a fast-growing cancer, as I understand it. And I was aware of this, but what did I do with it? I would talk to anyone and everyone about it. And this is 2013, and the charities weren't up and running here, America and so on. So in a positive way, and it was like a light bulb. I have to do something about this. Yeah. I cannot allow this to go on without, you know, screaming from the rooftops that this needs focus and change, not just for me, but, you know, I find that so many people don't realize that there, you know, I knew the treatments really were based on ductal research, but it still didn't quite translate into there isn't a specific treatment. Yes, of course we're treated for breast cancer in the standard way, but, you know, I'm a fairly typical case, and as in, you know, not recurrence does occur with people, and the science is saying there are, you know, it's a different type, and it doesn't get picked up, and later, when it does get picked up, and there are poorer long term outcomes. So, I like my life, yeah. And I have to do something about this. So, you know, while my husband and I thought we need the research now, we need to change this now. I know it'll take time. But in all good conscience, I have to do something. And I applaud the charity because it wasn't there back then.
Well, let me bring in Claire, because you are, again, campaigning for change. You founded this charity. Tell us about it and its three aims.
So the key aims for Lobular Breast Cancer UK, I mean, one of the things we've all talked about is how different lobular is. And often when we get diagnosed, I mean, I did it myself. Loads of us say we didn't even recognize the name. We'd never heard of it. So you get told you've got a breast cancer diagnosis, which is traumatic enough. Then you get told you've got a disease you've never heard of. Loads of people say I was Googling obular and globular, and because we'd never heard of it. And then you get told, and it behaves differently as well. And then you find out you might have much larger tumors, which worries people because they think potentially, is it really aggressive? Because it was only 1 centimeter 2 months ago, and after surgery, it's now another 7 centimeters. So one of the things that we're really doing at LBC UK is how can we increase information and awareness for the general public, for anybody who's diagnosed with lobular, so that you can have those best conversations with your medical team as well and advocate for yourself and make decisions on understanding the disease and try and reduce that isolation and fear. So we run things like wellbeing workshops to bring people together. And many of the women, I mean, Josie's run a couple of them as well, and they're incredibly emotional. There's a lot of tears, but this incredible sense of coming together and speaking to somebody else who's had the same disease as you and understands what you're going through. So that's kind of the key thing. As Susan said, you know, we don't have specific treatments. And within treatment guidelines here in the UK, lobular is only mentioned once. It's not recognised as a distinct disease.
Right.
And there's no guidelines to treat it differently. So one of our key objectives is to change that. So first we get recognised as a distinct disease, and then clinicians get given the guidelines and the ability to treat it as the different disease it is, and develop kind of targeted treatments. And then the other side of it is we work. I mean, I think part of the problem with lobular was what happened was when they discovered lobular, the scientific community thought HRT caused lobular.
Right.
So the solution was don't give as many women HRT because it promotes breast cancer, which many people have kind of heard lately with the whole discussion of HRT and breast cancer. So the research stopped into lobular. And it's only as as lobular diagnosis has increased, because often people haven't been told. It's only recently people have been distinguished between ductal and lobular, that it became clear that lobular didn't disappear when people stopped being given HRT.
Yeah.
So it's only in recent years that research has been driven. But a positive side of it, yes, there needs so much more research. It's completely under-researched. But there's an incredible global community of researchers that are working collaboratively together to change that.
Let me bring in Dr. Geddy again. Thank you for that, Claire. Can you tell us now, do clinicians see lobular as a separate type, or is it something that will be seen as a different type in you know, a few years down the road?
I think currently there is awareness that we have different types of cancer, but like we've already touched upon, most of the research for cancer treatment has been focused on ductal cancer. Mm. So there isn't enough investment in understanding lobular by itself and also treating it differently like it deserves.
Okay.
So right from diagnosis, treatment and follow-up, all these things would need a different approach to what we currently do. Yes, there is recognition, but that approach and a completely different way of dealing with it hasn't come into force yet.
Right. I always ask our guests on the podcast what you would like people listening to this now to take away, what advice you might give or what message you want to leave them with. Susan, what would you say?
Well, I would like people to realise that I've set up the lobularmoonshot.org website and project so that we're trying to raise research funds for the Institute of Cancer Research to work out the exact biology of lobular so that they can work on developing us specific treatments. I know it'll take time, but people need to be aware that when there's a lot of breast cancer around, and we need people to be aware that there's still a lot of people, it's the second most common type, get lobular. And I need them to realise we need a specific treatment. It's not just about me. It's about everybody who gets lobular and all their families and the people who get lobular in the future. So, you know, we've made a film, a short film, and we've made a documentary, and we've set up the Lobular Moonshot project with money going directly to the Institute of Cancer Research.
One, it's not always a lump.
Mm-hmm.
Two, know your own normal. So, and advocate for yourself. If you think there's something wrong, keep going back. I think my story is an example of the keeping going back.
And thank God you did.
Yes. I was starting to kind of go a bit crazy. So in a way, being diagnosed, whilst obviously I didn't want cancer, was actually a relief that I thought, I'm not going crazy. I'm not imagining this. So absolutely keep going back if you think something's not right. And then come to the website, get involved with Lobular Breast Cancer UK. If you need any information, if there's things that we aren't doing that we can do, we're a really new charity and we're all volunteers that have had our own lobular diagnosis. We're here, we want to help, and contact us and look at the website, and hopefully we can make people's experience and understanding a lot less isolating, a lot less fearful. Working with Susan, working collaboratively all together, we can make real changes for anyone who has a lobular diagnosis.
Josie?
I would really back up what Claire says as well, and Susan. I would also say find your tribe. Don't be alone with this. Seek out people who understand what you're going through. There are many, many tools to help with your wellness, whether you are in a secondary diagnosis or you, like me, and you know, you'll feel that you're through the other side. It's quite difficult to be well the other side of cancer at whatever stage you're at, but there are many tools that you can use that can really help. So seek those out, come to the website, find us, and, you know, be positive.
Are you still running?
Yes, but slowly. I've got cranky knees these days. I'm swimming more, but I'm still running a bit. But I still see all the gang that I ran with. So yeah, it's a wonderful, thing to be part of that community.
Yeah, it does sound it. I have to say, and I hate running. Listen, thank you all so much. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Josie.
Thank you.
Claire, thank you, and Dr. Geddy, thank you very much for giving up your time. I know how busy you are and how many women you need to be helping. So thank you. We're grateful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, everybody, and for speaking out, and Victoria for enabling this to happen. It's so important.
Thank you, Victoria. And thank you, Sujanya, and all the clinicians who are working to look after us and take care of us so hard as well.
Thank you very much, Victoria, Susan, Claire, Josie. It's been as enlightening to me today talking to you and understanding your perspective and how we need to tackle it differently, both from patients and clinicians' point of view. So thank you very much. That was a very interesting conversation.
And hopefully really helpful for our listeners. Thank you. And Then Came Breast Cancer is brought to you by the Future Dreams Breast Cancer Charity, which provides practical, emotional and psychological support for anyone diagnosed with the disease. It's a Factory original and 6 Foot 6 production.
Thank you.
Our podcast is intended to be a message of support for everyone who has been touched by breast cancer, and that's why our guests share their personal and unique stories with you. They express their personal opinions, which don't necessarily reflect those of Future Dreams or our sponsors. Our guests' individual stories do not constitute medical advice and shouldn't be treated in any way as a substitute for professional expertise or a consultation with healthcare professionals. This podcast is not offering to treat your cancer, but it is trying to help by talking about it. So hopefully you realise that you are not alone.